The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
contenders. How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 274 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonet.
Hey, friend.
What's up, friend? How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. Uh-oh, I think it happened again.
Oh, my God.
No, you're back.
I didn't do anything. Listen. I might have to disappear for the sake of the podcast. But no. I was saying, I'm ready for my 3-day weekend. That's all.
Oh, you're one of these people who get President's Day off? Lucky you.
Listen, this is a new thing for me.
Oh, okay.
When did I break? Oh, it's fine. It's just a remote. Who cares?
Oh, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna go shopping? Are you gonna go see?
No. I'm going to clean up my house.
That doesn't sound like an interesting, good way to spend the day off.
Not fun, but you know what's also not fun is being on a future episode of Hoarders. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Dee Dee's doing everything she can to not end up on Hoarders.
Know me. Yes, that's exactly right. Because it's bad. You know how people have, like, an extra closet? I have an extra room. It's no good. All bad in there.
What do you have for the distraction drinking game tonight?
Water. Water.
No, water is not going to turn into wine or anything tonight. There's no miracles happening.
If I had wine, I would drink wine. But the problem is, I don't have anything that goes well with.
Oh my! Are you gonna pair
water? So it's like
she's like, oh, I'm trying to pair.
I got peanut butter whiskey. I got habanero moonshine, and then I got Maker's Mark. Okay. And I don't want to just drink those things, so I just drink okay.
I don't have to peel you. Dude, I don't have to peel you off the ceiling now. Okay.
Maker's Mark.
First of all, nobody has to peel me off the ceiling. What happens is I drink and then I get sleepy and then bad things happen. Don knows.
Yeah.
So this is probably
text messages get sent. Yeah, I know.
Well, I was thinking more like snoring on the podcast. But if you don't remember it, neither do I. So yeah.
Sure.
Text messages. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Make his mark with about 4 ice cubes sounds really good though.
I don't have ice. I don't know where you think I live. But I don't have no automatic ice maker. And I don't have room in my freezer for no damn ice tray either.
Well, you live in D.C. You could just go outside real quick.
What that mean?
It's not been that cold, man. Well, it's been like
chip some ice off the concrete.
Oh, no, man. It's not cold.
Oh, it's not that cold.
Yeah.
It's been raining enough, but it's been like 40s, 50s.
Yeah, man.
It's probably going to get to that tonight here.
You said it's because the president is tanning? Is that what you said? Yeah, probably. Like a center global warming right in D.C. Yeah.
No, I'm saying tonight over here is going to get pretty cold. So.
Oh.
And that other voice you have been hearing on the introduction is none other than the Rawcast broadcast journalist himself, Mr. Magnum Prime. Samuel Colunga. Excuse me. Sorry, Freudian. There. How you doing, Sam?
Magnum Prime is currently indisposed. He has other things to worry about.
Yes.
But it's me. It's me, that D-O-double-G.
So we'll get into the quick news portion of this week's show, Simone Johnson, the daughter of The Rock, has officially signed with NXT, and she is currently training down in the Performance Center. I think she's 18 years old, so she has a bright future, starting very, very young to get this WWE-centric training, so we'll see how it works out. Apparently, she's wanted to do this for quite a while, and she's very athletic, and she'll be fourth generation, so I'm pretty sure she's got a lot of natural instincts that once she starts training, it'll kind of pick up that she didn't know she had. And maybe in 2 years, we'll see her debut. So, looking forward to it.
Yeah, she's kind of been hanging around those NXT people for a while now. So, now I guess they made it official.
Right. Misty DeChaney, your thoughts on The Rock's daughter possibly becoming a super duper star in the WWE?
I mean, if she can be, you know, more like, I don't know, more like Nia, less like Tamina, that'd be great.
Dang.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Hey, the Mankind's daughter should start training, and they could be like Rock and Sock 2.0.
Oh, that'd be adorable.
So good luck to Simone in her future endeavors at NXT. And like I said, in a couple of years, we'll probably see her have her first matches or two, and we'll see what she's got. So at this point...
Do have another bit of news.
Yes, sir.
A tiny bit of news. I don't know if the news dropped in time for last week's recording, but Aja Pereira, Shine wrestler, friend is officially have become the first full-time black female ref in the WWE.
Yes, she stopped wrestling, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it. I mean, I was kind of hoping to see her out there someday, but it looks like...
Do you think she was having concussion issues? Injuries?
I mean, I don't think so. She wasn't really out. I mean, she wasn't really... I don't really remember her being out for very much for that, but I mean, maybe she just decided that, like, you know, she wants to be in the big time, so this, maybe she feels this is her way in, but I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I'm happy for her, but yeah. It just seemed like I really wanted to see her wrestle.
I mean, you know, it worked for JoJo. She, you know, started being a wrestler and then transitioned to the ring announcer, so you know, there's another
transition there.
There's other avenues in being a wrestler and being in a wrestling business. So,
right.
Good luck to her. All right, now Miss Didi Jonet, we'll turn it over to you so you can tell us what happened on last week's SmackDown Matters.
Okay, they were in a place. I'm not sure. Don't matter. The Miz and Morrison arrive and they welcome us to the dirt sheet. They have a new film to show us, and it includes Miz's dad, Lance Storm, Big Johnny, I don't know who that is, the history of Miz's heel turn, return of Morrison, and wackiness with Miz and Morrison. Excuse me. Parodying Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I haven't seen, so whatever. They claim it's Oscar-worthy and tag title-worthy as well. Morrison runs down the fans, New Day arrives, they have popcorn, they praise Miz's dad, because of course... We love the parents. Kofi says he's Miz's dad's favorite wrestler. That's probably true, huh?
It is true.
Doesn't that suck that you're not even your parents' favorite wrestler?
And Miz is like his dad's fourth or fifth favorite wrestler, he said.
Which means he's probably like eighth or ninth, and like the dad is like, oh, you know.
I don't think John Cena is John Cena's dad's favorite wrestler.
Well, why would he be?
I think it's somebody else, but yeah.
That's correct.
It's kind of like a joke.
Well, no, I think that one's just a little more accurate. Oh, yeah, that's news. His ass is coming back. But we can pretend like that's not happening. That's fine. Anyway, they got popcorn, blah, blah, blah. Big E wasn't watching as he was taking in BET Uncut. That doesn't come on anymore. Does he still have episodes on DVR?
Yeah, he was talking about the Miz and when The Miz and John Morrison were the tag team champions, he was like, oh, I wasn't watching wrestling then. I was more watching BET
Uncut. Oh, back then. I right. thought he meant he wasn't watching the Oscars. He was watching BET Uncut. And I was like, sir, the choices you're making.
He pulled out those VHS tapes.
But I wouldn't put it past Big Allison.
Would you anyway, put it past him? No.
Would not. Like, I'd be like, I see it. Okay, so he said that he found it funny that Miz and Morrison think they will take the titles. The challengers claim they have dominated everyone, including the New Day, and the Usos with the new haircuts arrive. They remind Miz and Morrison that they haven't beaten them. Oh, that sounds like what Naomi said. There's a brawl, and Dolph's music distracts the faces.
Is it a distraction?
There was a distraction. You should take a drink, even though there's not a match.
Take a sip of that water.
Listen.
Hold on. I got some water here, too. Hold on.
I have water. You should have vodka. What's that? Mountain Dew used to be his
thing. I got some water. No, I got water.
Oh, look at us turning over a new leaf in the 2020s. Yay.
Double IPA, tried and true.
Oh, I don't like beer, but I do like sours.
Oh, okay.
I do. I think I can work with sours.
All right. Mm-hmm. Little juicy juice.
Mm-hmm. But see, it's sour, so it don't feel like, oh, girl, you just drinking soda pop. It's like, no, I'm trying. It's got fermentation. It's got things. Anyway. Dolph's music interferes, and what happens is, instead of a match with all of them for right now, it's just a match with the Usos and Ziggles and Robert Roode. Dolph counters a splash with some knees and gets a cradle for two. Roode comes in, but Jimmy makes the save. There's a breakdown, and a top row splash finishes it off. I'm assuming the Usos won.
Correct.
Ah, yay. Alexa, didn't I watch that? I don't know. Alexa gets ready backstage as Nikki gives her a pep talk. Alexa says she has something twisted up her sleeve. Not he, like my notes say.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine.
Editing.
It's fine. There are highlights of last week's dog food match, otherwise known as brown chili match.
Oh, listen to this. Remember how you were talking about... you had to have, we were talking about the compensation, right?
Yeah.
For the dog food and what it would take for you to, you know, have that happen.
Correct.
I was listening to Jim Cornette's podcast, and he was talking about getting your hair cut in the territories. And he was like, he knew that that came with like an extra bonus when people did it. He said, hell, Bill Dundee got a down payment on a new house when him and his wife lost their hair.
Oh, wow.
Holy
shit. So, yeah.
Well, now, wait a minute. How much did houses cost back then? That might have just been like $1,000.
Yeah, like 10 bucks.
I'm pretty sure it was a couple of more thousand than that, but yeah.
I mean, it might be worth it for five. And you got to imagine, when you're a white person, their hair grows fast. So you're not going to be bald for so long. That might be worth it.
Well, look at Kurt Angle. They cut his hair and he's still trying to grow.
No, it was good that Kurt Angle cut his hair, though.
He was already starting to, he was starting to bald already. So
yeah, what you have to do is you have to do it before you have to do it. And then it's like a choice. It's not a... You know, it's like it was not a necessity.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a Stevie Wonder thing. It's an aesthetic choice you chose to make, not like
it's a style.
Let it go.
It's a style choice.
Or like when they cut it down and you can see the male pattern baldness even in the baldness. You know, like because you know.
Oh wow, that
I've happens. Seen it. And it's like ooh, I can see where your hairline really stops, even though you're still bald. I digress. Let's move forward. Corbin yells at the production crew for playing the video. He assaults the poor man and tosses him out of the truck. Elias, my favorite, arrives and plays a tune. He faces Cesaro, another favorite, and has a song, but is interrupted by Cesaro and Sammy, another favorite. Sammy says it is revenge for last week, while Elias says he always gets interrupted. Sammy's pissed, claiming Nakamura, another fave, was robbed of the IC title. Elias will pay tonight at the hands of Cesaro. What happened? Did Elias interfere? No. Just blaming the little Italian man. He ain't doing nothing. Anyway. They trade Nero Falls, Elias, and Cesaro do. There's a pop-up uppercut by Cesaro that gets a two count. They trade strikes. Elias takes control, follows with a clothesline slam, a heads up top, and the elbow drop gets the win. Elias won! He'd love to see it. King Corbin arrives and rants about being the king. He won't be silenced. And this is his kingdom. Last week was an abomination. Praises his Chiefs for beating the 49ers. And says Reigns should have lost. He can't do anything without the Usos helping him. Corbin says it should have been one-on-one at the Rumble because he would have won and also won the Rumble. Okay, but here's the thing. Your bitch ass had people cheating too. It's not Roman's fault. His cousin's quite better. Like, what are you talking about, you victim ass?
That's a fact. That's a fact that he chooses to omit.
Like, that's some good revisionist history. You had your cousins help you. Friend, you also had people help you. They just didn't help you as good. Sorry.
Well, since they got whooped, it don't count.
Like, pick better? I don't... What you want? Anyway. Ooh. So what had happened was he demands another match with Roman and says the show won't go on until he gets Roman in the ring. He pours a drink on a fan, in quotation marks, and Roman arrives. Superman punched by Roman. He slams him into the steps and hits the drive-by. Corbin runs away. Reigns says he will face Baron Corbin in a steel cage match. Now, what's that one? That's the one that doesn't have a top.
Yes, that's just a regular cage. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nobody so wants means, to see that. That means that his cheating-ass friends can run up top and interfere some more. Hey.
Look at you already booking the match.
Listen, this is not my first rodeo. And also, I have a spirit of a cheater. So,
like I told Letitia Chanel, never apologize for being a heel in real life.
Hey, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Goldberg, he's back for whatever reason. I thought he only came back because his son wanted to see him wrestle, and then Little Chunk Chunk saw him wrestle, and I thought we were over that. No?
You did not call that little boy Chunk Chunk.
He was fat, but I was being nice, and so I called him Chunk Chunk. Let's go with the nickname.
Chunk Chunk. Used to look like Fatty McFatty Pants or something.
See, that's rude. I thought Chunk Chunk was adorable. Goldberg says that he watched the Rumble, and it was inspiring. He has an itch again and wants the Universal title. Bray Wyatt interrupts with Firefly Funhouse News. He says Goldberg challenging The Fiend is a bad idea, but The Fiend accepts. Goldberg says that he isn't falling for these tricks and will take the championship because The Fiend is next. Okay, I guess. He Slater meets with Daniel Bryan backstage talking about The Fiend. Slater talks to him about the ass beating The Fiend gave him and how it was a stupid decision. And Brian gets up in his bag, so he challenges him to a match. The Bushido knee by Daniel Bryan connects in said match, and then he follows with repeated stomps and the yes lock for the win.
He had to do Heath like that.
First of all, why is little Ginger messing with that man? Talk about, I wouldn't do it. Like, why are you being nice? He already got his ass handed to him. He had his hair cut. His wife done said it's too much. She working on a second baby. Like, just leave him alone. You got the trailer full of kids. You should know how it is. Let that man relax.
Now, how do you think it is the karma of the universe that both of the Bella twins are pregnant at the same time?
I love that. It's like the only way that it could be better is if, like, they have twins. Like, let's just set the stage. Or like, if they both have girls, or if they both have boys, or if they're both, if like they're born the same week, like, let's keep the shenanigan going. I'm a big fan. What is this creepy ass sign? This is Darby. I know a halfway homeless looking man when I see him. Anyway, what had happened? We see highlights of Braun Strowman winning the IC title. He arrives for his interview. He says he gets chills thinking about winning. It's his biggest achievement and is thrilled to finally hold singles gold. It took way too long, goddamn. Sammy and Nakamura arrive, and Sammy demands Nakamura's rematch. Because, you know, those are not compulsory anymore. Braun wants it tonight, but Sammy says it will take place when they want it. The Revival attack Braun. Nakamura joins in and beats Braun down. That's 3-on-1. Braun fires up, fights him off, and chases Sammy, runs over the Revival. But Nakamura cuts Braun off with the Kinshasa. The numbers game, man. The numbers game. Otis prepares for his Valentine's Day date with Mandy Rose. He has Mandy's calendar and is counting down the days. It didn't even occur to me last week when she was like, oh, I'm busy, but I'm available next week, that next week was Valentine's Day. Look at the WWE with the long con. Yes.
Good luck, Otis.
You're listening. You know my single ass one thing about no Valentine's Day. Anyway, Tucker helps to get him ready with workouts and a beautiful video montage. Well, like, how much weight you think he's gonna lose, Tucker? Like, he look how he looks.
He's got the cut weight like UFC.
Right, man. Like, ooh, like he, I barely recognize the man. Like,
Otis, where are you? Where's the other half of you?
Right, like, where does Tommy go? Anyway, Tucker then teaches him table manners, but Otis topples over the table. That sounds correct. Sheamus has a match with Apollo Crews, who I haven't seen in 5 months. Or maybe I haven't, I just didn't care. They brawl at the bell. There's an enziguri by Crews, and the pro kick finishes it. Oops. Post-match, Sheamus looks to attack, but Chad the Gable tries to make the save. However, he eats a broke kick as well. Polo ting ting.
That Otis and Tucker thing kind of reminds me of like when like Triple H tried to teach Mantar some table manners. I don't know if you remember that.
No, I don't remember that. I remember Mantar, but I don't remember Triple H and Mantar having any interactions.
It was comedy.
Sounds like it.
Oh, excuse me. That was gross. We're almost done. The main event of the night, oddly enough, is a number one contenders match between Alexa, Naomi, Carmella, and Dana Brooke for the women's Smacky Downy title.
I'm sorry, what? I was watching Carmella moonwalk. She stars in the new video for the band Pauline for Soup.
You strike me as a fan of theirs, Cole.
The song is called Alexa Bliss. It's pretty cool. And look at Dana Brooke now with a elbow right to the
face.
Oh, Bliss,
man.
Calls it up, and Alexa Bliss with a basement drop kick. Remember, no disqualifications or countouts in her fatal four-way matchup. Naomi with a kip up. And now Naomi going to launch herself over the top rope and a corkscrew plancha. Taking out the three women outside the ring, and Bayley, yes you are, the women's champ.
A mind game from the champ atop the mountain.
Bayley, the longest reigning women's champion in SmackDown history.
Hang on.
Bayley Chance, of course, she's from right here in San Jose, California. And Bayley and Naomi now going at it. Remember, there are no disqualifications in fatal four-way matches. And Bayley driving Naomi into the steps. That changes the complexion. Who is going to challenge Bayley?
Dana Brooke on the outside.
And Brooke brought in the hard way by Naomi. And Naomi, oh, what a split leg leg drop. Cover now on Brooke. Get a kick out at two. So close again for Naomi. But a great performance by the former two-time SmackDown Women's Champion. Oh, Naomi off the second turnbuckle.
I agree with you about Naomi's performance, and all that is in spite of being thrown into the steel ring stairs a few moments ago by the Women's Champion, Bayley.
Now this time it's Naomi slammed into the top turnbuckle. And Bliss may have Naomi where she wants her.
But the goddess is feeling twisted. Now is the time.
Bliss gonna head up to the top rope. Naomi could be in position here. Alexa Bliss. Twisted Bliss.
Oh, but Naomi got her knees up.
Naomi able to counter.
Rear view.
Isn't enough to put Bliss away. Carmella with a kick right to the face. And another one, a super kick by Carmella. Cover by Carmella. Got it. Carmella with the win. And Bayley. Bayley now from behind. Face first goes Carmella. The SmackDown Women's Champion with a hit-and-run attack on the woman who will be her next challenger. Carmelo on the fatal four-way. But Bayley saying, this is still my title.
Hated that Naomi lost.
Correct.
Do respect Carmella with the heel tactics, though.
I'm actually surprised she was able to recover from the rear view, though. That'll put you out for at least a week.
In most cases, yes, but she had awesome recuperative powers.
I guess she has superpowers, huh? All right. Not hating it.
And Alexa Bliss was just there. Unfortunately, y'all know how I like Alexa Bliss, but I was really hoping Naomi was going to win this match. Hopefully they figure out to make it a three-way or something.
Speaking of Alexa, she's in a music video, and part of the music video is like in a wrestling ring, and that wrestling ring is like the indie that I go to, so that's cool.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. This was an entertaining episode of SmackDown. Wasn't like the hot fire like it was the week before, but you know, no, not really, but it wasn't the hot fire like it was the week before, but it was passable.
Passable. You ever watch wrestling and people like go for a move and then they miss it and you gotta act like they ain't miss it? They missed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sammy Guevara definitely just missed his little dive onto Dustin.
ECW made a whole career out of like having the fans point it out with the "you effed up" chant.
Still goes on today in certain points and matches.
Yeah, actually.
All right, Sam. It's all yours, son. It's Monday Night Raw time.
Monday Night Raw live. I actually know where it took place. It took place in the entire state of Ontario, the whole state. Oh, I'm sorry, the whole, province?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know, the entire province of Ontario that took place. So, Seth Rollins and the boys are in the ring to cut a boring 20-minute promo. Buddy Murphy now is just Murphy.
Murphy.
What do you think about
AOP
that?
AOP is now just...
If you're going to be a heel, you can't really be called Buddy, can you? They should have thought about that a while ago, though.
And AOP is now just P. I'm kidding. We're actually not that far away from like No Way Jose just being no. All right. So Seth says that he is here to lead everyone into the future. But before we talk about the future, they need to talk about the past. When you see footage from last week's match, he says that even though his boys clearly won, KO and company were so salty that they interrupted in his match later, costing him a shot at Brock Lesnar and the WWE Championship. He goes on and on for a few more minutes. Kevin Owens comes to the stage. Seth cuts him off before he can speak. He warns him not to go in over his head because he'll get taken out, just like his buddies. Owens says that every week Seth runs his mouth and sounds stupid, and now he looks stupid on top of it. Did you see what he was wearing?
Oh, the Shearling?
Looks so silly.
Oh, I liked it. All black, yeah.
Yeah, with the little fur collar.
Mm-hmm. Keep him warm in the winter. You said he was in Canada.
Yeah, there you go. So he says that he is wrong. He is not alone. The War Viking Raider Machine Express come out. The three men go to the ring and a brawl breaks out. And then in the middle of the Raw, Seth Rollins is in the ring just watching. Samoa Joe creeps up on Seth and puts him in the clutch. The brawl moves to the ring and the boys get tossed out one by one until Kevin, Joey Samoa, and the Minnesota Vikings remain standing tall.
That was very good to see Samoa Joe come up from the blind side and catch Seth Rollins slipping.
All right.
This is the WWE. I can't believe it.
This was actually 18 minutes, so not quite the 20-minute boring promo.
It wasn't boring, though.
They're all boring. See, I don't know where the man comes out. The guys leave the arena. At the commercial, we get set for a championship match. Asuka versus Becky Lynch. Asuka and Kairi come cackling down the aisle. The match begins. They start out by kicking each other. A few back and forth arm ringers. A standing side headlock applied by Asuka. Becky reverses it into a side headlock on the mat. Kairi distracts Becky on the apron while Asuka hits her with a hip attack. After commercial, the two ladies continue going back and forth. Becky hits Asuka with the baseball slide, leaps off the apron, tries to land on Asuka, but Kairi pushes her out of the way and takes the blow, leading to another distraction and Asuka gaining the advantage. Asuka misses a hip attack on the ropes, and Becky does a disarm her using the ropes as leverage. Later in the match, Asuka gets Becky into a triangle. Becky is able to lift Asuka up and powerbomb her for a two count. Becky tries a leg drop off the turnbuckle, misses. Asuka hits the Asuka lock while Becky tries to reach the ropes. Lynch escapes, tries a few roll-ups, tries for the disarmer, eventually hits a Uranage and gets the 1-2-3 victory. What did y'all think of the match before we get to the shenanigans?
It was fantastical.
I thought it was the best match of the night.
Oh, yeah, by far.
Like, these are two different... These are two definite pros.
Oh, yeah. It was cool to see Becky win with an alternative finisher, too.
All right. So here we go into the twilight part of the show.
And you have got it. Oh, my God. Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler. The budget is here. Shayna Baszler attacking Becky Lynch from behind. I'm not trying to cinch in her signature. Kira for the clutch.
What's she even doing here? Oh.
He's biting Becky Lynch.
Oh, really? Oh, God. Freaking vampire. Get her out of there. Some doctors down here.
I can't believe what we just saw.
Easy, Becky, just.
That is a low by nature.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. No. Oh. Easy, Becky. Come on, Becky. Come on, Becky.
I don't know what to say. We all saw it. I mean, she just took that mouthpiece out and bit Becky in the back of the neck.
I'm fine. It's just, I'm fine. Ow. Take it easy, all right?
Yeah, hold that down for me. Got it.
As she leaves, Becky is riding around on the ground yelling, "The bee bit me." I thought that was funny. The medics come out to attend her, and she claims that she's fine. In the picture-in-picture during commercial, we see that she's helped to the back. After the commercial, Becky insists that she doesn't need to go to the hospital. She comments, "It's just a flesh wound." Stubborn. So, okay, so let's get into it. What did y'all do? Was this too far? Was this... What's going on here? What did you guys think?
She's a baby gang. Growl and I live. Never forget. The Brood. 2.0.
Gang Girl
2.0.
3.0, shit. 3.0. If you wanted to leave Becky Lynch bloodied... As an MMA fighter, I'm pretty sure there's a couple of other ways she could have done that besides taking a chunk out of her neck. This was
the, did they not watch her NXT stuff? Did they think she's a vampire or something? Or
this is the most out of place. I can't even call it a debut, but it's just the most out of place angle for a person of her reputation I've ever seen. Like, okay,
wasn't her thing that like she ain't down with like the WWE, you know, gimmicky stuff? Wasn't that her gimmick?
Yeah,
that wasn't is she her, like a yeah. no gimmicks needed Chris Candido? Wasn't that her thing?
Right. This is obviously she was in total control of somebody who'd never really watched her before.
Right. So I guess
it was shocking.
Yeah. It got people talking though. It basically got the Twitters tweeting.
Yeah. I mean, shock value high. Blood and guts. Remember that, Vince? We weren't going to be doing that. Then AEW got people getting their eyes poked out, people getting their teeth knocked out, and the guy getting 10 lashes. And next thing you know, we got a woman taking a chunk out of another woman's neck. Just got to compete.
Well, let's see what Riley up the ante next time.
Right.
All
right,
so Mojo Rawley and Riddick Moss. I keep wanting to call him Riddick Bowe.
No, sir.
He is no Riddick Bowe.
He is no Riddick Bowe.
Mojo Rawley and Riddick Moss versus the Street Profits. The Street Profits take the mic as they enter the ring. They say Mojo has been puffing up his chest for weeks and hiding behind Riddick Moss, and that he's known for writing Gronk's coattails. The match begins with Rawley going after Dawkins. He tags in Moss. This is stupid. I hate autocorrect. He tags in Moss. And Moss gets whooped by Dawkins. Ford tags in. They hit the cash out on Moss, and the match is over. So when the Street Profits leave, Rawley wants to know what's up with Moss. He goes to pick up his boy, and then Moss cradles him for a 3 count, becoming the new 24/7 champion. And then he runs out into the crowd. Backstage, Becky still refuses to go to the hospital. She's in the parking lot with the ambulance, fights off the NTs, and heads to the hospital herself. Does she even know where it is?
It's the medical facility, and I'm pretty sure it has GPS in the ambulance.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, she didn't have her phone on her because she's hiding in her gear. All right. So it's time for the VIP lounge. MVP's guest tonight is Drew McIntyre, who single-leggedly, leggedly eliminated Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. The VIP attendants try to stop Drew, checking to see if he's on the list. Drew just pushes his way through and climbs into the ring. MVP says that he and Drew go way back like a Cadillac with four flats. He didn't actually say that. Drew insists that every time someone says WrestleMania, he needs to point at the sign, which he does. MVP says that Drew needs to not worry about the naysayers and the people saying things behind his back. Drew wants to know who's talking behind his back. MVP says, you know, some people are saying that Drew is not ready to be WWE champion, but we can change that. Drew wants to know who we is. MVP says that he needs an experienced veteran to help guide him. Drew asks if he's looking to become his Paul Heyman. He says he doesn't need a brain talking for him or some... No, brain thinking for him or someone talking for him, like Brock Lesnar. Drew tries to walk away, but MVP grabs his arm, saying Drew needs him. Drew hits him with the Glasgow kiss, and then the Claymore, he does the ball in, and then he points to the WrestleMania sign. And Randy Orton will explain his actions tonight.
Oh, hold on, but that was a good segment. I hope they keep MVP around for that, or he becomes somebody's manager or something. That was good.
Yeah, he could, like, I mean, come on, you know it's going to eventually be Bob.
Now see him and, the Beatdown Clan. Let's get it back going again. The one bright spot for TNA for like 6 weeks.
Joey Samoa, Bob, MVP. Let's do it.
Yeah.
That old BDC. All right, so... you hate to see it, but Cedric Alexander, I mean, what happened to this dude? In the ring with music?
His wife is actually right now more popular than he is.
Dang.
Big swole. She's killing it on AEW.
Yeah. So Cedric Alexander is in the ring with no music. Zelina Vega grabs the mic. Says she wants to show everyone why Angel Garza is a man's man. She shows footage of last Monday when Garza was beating up Humberto Carrillo and then DDTing Rey Mysterio. Angel talks, says he's not only a man's man, but he is, in fact, a ladies' man. Apparently, those are fighting words for Humberto because he runs out and attacks Angel. The rest pull Humberto away, and I guess the match can begin now.
Miss Didi Jane. Okay. Yeah. You've got a choice here. Cien Almas, Angel Garza, or Humberto. Which?
Dimpled Humberto.
Bad decisions.
Yeah.
For Humberto.
He's awful young, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's awful young, though. But yeah. I'm securing my
Mm-hmm. Now we know what he likes. All right.
Dimples. Who doesn't like dimples?
Okay, so, all right. So the match begins, finally. Cedric goes after Angel. Angel runs out of the ropes. The ref pulls him back. Zelina distracts Cedric. Angel goes after him. Cedric hits some slick moves on Angel. Cedric tries for a baseball slide and Garza catches him, dropping him on the outside. Angel goes to pull up the mats, but thinks otherwise. Cedric regains his momentum but quickly loses it when he goes up top and is met with a drop kick by Garza. He yanks off his pants, hits the wing clipper, and he yanks off his own pants. He didn't yank off Cedric's pants, just to be clear. Hits the wing clipper and gets the W.
Yeah, he pulled a Tai Chi. New Japan.
Perfect. Right, yeah. That's what I'm it's funny how the crowd always pops when he does that.
Yeah. They pop for
because they know it's about to get serious. They know it's about to get serious when Tai Chi does that.
Yeah, it's sort of like when Jerry Lawler pulls down the strap in Memphis.
Right, yeah. So we see clips from last Monday. Charlotte talking about who she wants to wrestle at Mania. Rhea Ripley gets in the ring and challenges Charlotte instead. Charlie interviews Rhea. She asks if she's still waiting for an answer from Charlotte. She says no, because she doesn't wait for things. She wants to know if she's getting ahead of herself with Charlotte since she has to face Binky at TakeOver. Sarah Logan just interrupts and asks if she thinks she can come on Raw and do whatever she wants. Rhea says, I'm Rhea Ripley. Who are you? Bob is backstage with Lana.
I know.
That was Sarah Logan. It took me a while. I didn't even recognize her.
Right. Like, I know who she was, but I didn't, like, audit, like, looking at her. I wasn't like, oh, that's Sarah Logan. So when she was like, who are you? And it's like, good question.
Honestly, I did not even know who that was until, like, she came out later.
But that's,
I was like, oh, that's Sarah Logan.
So great. Because it's like, who are you? And it's like, nobody even knows you. How important.
I thought she was a fan. Just come out of the stands or something.
Oh, God.
Let's see. Bob is backstage with Lana. Someone interviews Bob. I don't know who this person is. That's why I hit someone. Asking him about his match tonight. Lana interrupts, and I really don't care. Bob starts talking, and now I truly don't care. He talks smack about Ricochet. I know that. Let's see. Sarah Logan versus Rhea Ripley. Sarah Logan comes out and challenges Rhea Ripley to a match. Rhea comes out, but then so does Charlotte. As far as the match, it pretty much goes the way you think it would. Rhea squashes her while Charlotte stands on the stage and applauds. After the match, Rhea grabs a mic and demands an answer. Charlotte says she has a question of her own. And the question is, how does anyone know that Rhea is still going to be champion after NXT TakeOver? Do I smell shenanigans for TakeOver or no?
Always shenanigans.
Always shenanigans. That should be your tagline, Dee Dee. Always shenanigans. Todd Phillips talks about Sonic the Hedgehog while the graphic of Ricochet versus Bob is on the screen. Charlie interviews Ricochet. Is he concerned that he's not going to make it to Super Showdown? He says no, because he's been intimidated by people like Bob all his life, and he's not going to stop him from limping or crawling to Super Showdown. Ricochet versus Bob. Two men wrestle. Bob uses power moves. Ricochet does flippy stuff. Bob props Rick on the top turnbuckle with his back to him. What is he attempt here? Is it a German or is it like a back suplex?
It looks like a belly back drop. Suplex. Yeah, like a belly to back suplex.
Yeah, a back drop. There you go. That's what I was trying to like. I was like, what is he doing here? Because it's not a German. Because he doesn't really put all, both arms around him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Bobby tries to hit something, and Ricochet manages to flip out of it in midair, which surprises himself. And it gets back to what I was telling you, Don, the whole thing about, like, what I don't like about this character is that, you know, a man of his talents should exude confidence and not carry himself like a, just like a fan, basically, who's, like, so surprised that he could execute these maneuvers on these WWE superstars.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of how they've been painting him, you know? Like, oh, like he's Zach Gowen or somebody, you know? Like, oh, this is a man with actual talent. That's how they're pushing him. Is that not how they're pushing him out? Like, he's just like so surprised, so shocked. I can actually do this thing.
He's a superhero, and she's trying to show us that superheroes are real.
Yeah, whatever. Rick hits Bob with some drop kicks, goes up top, hits a 630, and that 630, he looked like he landed on his head almost.
Mm-hmm.
He really needs to be careful next time. There, that's all drilled for Bob.
He landed squaw in the middle of Bobby Lashley's stomach, though. Actually, like
it. Yeah. Yeah, he needs to be careful with those. Or get some more air, one of those two. Randy Orton comes out to talk. He says he still owes everyone an explanation. He says it hurt him more than it hurt Edge. 1999, Matt Hardy comes out. He also wants to know why he did it. He mentions his own history between he and Edge. He says that at one time he hated Edge. But before all that, he, Jeff, and Edge and Christian were best friends, sharing hotel rooms and dreaming of becoming WWE superstars. He mentions the tag team ladder match at No Mercy 99 and their contributions to WWE, including TLC and other matches. But he finally let go of all of his hate when Edge announced his retirement. Edge made a miraculous return, and then Randy took it all away. He asked, what is wrong with Randy Orton? I mean, aside from the obvious. Randy looks like he's going to respond, but he tries for an RKO. Matt blocks it, fights him off, but then Randy gets the upper hand. He RKOs Matt and then hits him with the same concerto that he did Edge. And then Randy climbs out of the ring and leaves. We get footage from last week.
Do you think that's the last hurrah for Matt Hardy? Do you think he's going to wind up as the exalted one?
That's what people. I mean, his contract is up soon.
Real soon.
So I mean, you know they're gonna drop a dump truck of money at his feet. You know that because they do not want him going to the other show.
This is true, but can they stop him? Because, you know, some people are feeling stifled creatively, and AEW seems to be letting people do what they want over there to an extent.
Yeah, but he also had that same freedom at TNA, and I mean, while he was able to come up with a cool, good gimmick, you know, aside from them actually trying to hold him back, I mean, his dream, he loves the WWE. You know, that's like the ultimate to him.
Yeah.
And his brother.
All
right. So who knows? I mean, either way, it's good for the fans. So we get footage from last week as Liv Morgan is attacked by Ruby Riott. Sarah interviews Ruby. Ruby says that she and Liv were best friends and that she knows everything about Liv. She calls Liv a follower and that she came back to put her in her place and remind her of who she is. All right. Don, it happens again. First Cedric and now Akira.
The 205 Live.
So Aleister Black. Yeah. Aleister Black versus Akira Tozawa. The two tussle a bit before Black hits Black Mass and gets the victory. After the match, Aleister grabs the mic. He has enjoyed being able to share these intimate moments with the fans. He's appreciative of all of them because that's what it's all about. He says he feels like an animal inside a cage. He sits down on the floor and the lights turn low. And then he quotes Rorschach from Watchmen. I'm not in here with you, you're in here with me. We hear the sounds of an ambulance, and my first guess was it was not Scott Steiner. Becky Lynch climbs out, and with the back of her neck gauzed up. After a commercial, she comes out to the ring and grabs the mic. She calls out Shayna, looking to smash her face in. She doesn't care how tough she is, Becky will break her down. And Shayna better find her before she finds Shayna. She drops the mic and leaves the ring. Seth Rollins and Murphy and AOP versus Joey Samoa, Kevin Owens, and the Minnesota Vikings. This is a pretty decent 8-man tag. I mean, it was entertaining. It popped the crowd. Bodies flying everywhere. Stuff happens. Rollins tries for a curb stomp on Joe, tags in Murphy. Joe goes for a clutch. Murphy taps, but the ref was distracted. Seth hits a curb stomp and Murphy gets the pin. Now, does this count as a distraction finish?
Of course it does. You said distraction.
Right. If you have to ask, the answer is yes.
Okay. All right. Everybody take a drink. And that is your Monday Night Raw. Thoughts?
Decent.
Yeah, it was okay. I didn't hate it.
They got some things going on Monday Night Raw. This faction warfare thing with Kevin Owens and his crew versus Seth Rollins and his crew is pretty good. The Shayna stuff, you know, minus the biting, was pretty effective. The Asuka match was totally awesome. Ricochet and Bobby Lashley, yeah, I could do without that. Drew McIntyre, good. Just building him up. Crowd is behind him. So, yeah, they got a lot of stuff accomplished.
Now, if Murphy has children, is he going to be called Papa Murphy?
I don't know. I wonder how good his pizza is, though.
Well, hopefully he doesn't eat 40 pizzas in 30 days like Papa John did. Or whatever he's saying, whatever that guy was. Yeah. All right, so, yeah, that's a good. It was a decent show.
So sorry. What would your Sour Patch rating be?
7 out of 10 Sour Patches.
Oh, that's really good. That's really, really good. They actually had a higher second hour rating than first hour rating. I guess the Shayna talk got everybody tuning in.
Right. This is like the first time you actually even noticing like the runtime. Because I didn't get to watch it on TV. I had to like find it by other means. And
yes, no more overrun.
Without the commercials, it's literally 2 hours and 10 minutes. So you get almost an hour of commercials. That's what that third hour is.
And it's no overrun anymore. It goes off at 11 o'clock now.
That's why they were rushing that other time, that one time where they almost missed the pin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty good, pretty decent show. Right. Now on to your thing.
Ms. Didi, anything you want to add before we move on?
Nah.
Just if you were Becky Lynch and they came to you with the creative of, yeah, you're going to beat Asuka and then she's going to come bite your neck, how would that conversation have went?
I'd be like, that's very weird. And then I would have been like, is she gangrel? Like, give me the reason why she would just decide to jump on her back and bite her neck. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, we don't know her to be a biting bitch. We know her to be a fighting bitch. You know, like, if you said she ran in there and she broke her hand, or she ran in there and, I don't know,
punched her in the eye and busted her. She could have elbowed her in the eye and made her, you know, bust her open above the eyebrow.
Yeah, punch her in her nose, be like, Nia Jax who? Like, all of that would make sense. But, like, yeah, I jumped on her back and I bit the back of her neck because I could. It's like, is that what it is?
Like, I mean, like, what was the most effective thing that we saw on pay-per-view? That time that Brock Lesnar jumped on old boy and just smashed, punched his face till he bled.
Yeah, that's right.
That was hype, you know?
Oh, I don't know to what you two are referring, but sure.
Randy Orton faced Brock Lesnar at... It was one of these pay-per-views. One of those SummerSlam. It was later. And he jumped on top of him and elbowed him until he made him bleed. And that's when Chris Jericho wanted to fight...
Chris Jericho was trying to fight Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Like, in real life.
Backstage, because they didn't tell him that he was going to hardway him like that.
Oh.
But he thought he legit jumped on him and did that.
Yeah.
He jumped on Randy?
Brock did in the match. Brock did in the match and busted up Randy, and then Jericho thought that Brock was taking liberties on Randy, so then Jericho stepped to Brock when Brock came behind the curtain.
Yeah, but it's Randy. Who cares? No, that's what you mean.
This is the one time DD wants Brock to do something to somebody.
I mean, like, out of all the people. It's just like, oh, you trying to bully him? Feel free. I don't care.
Just walk away. He's like, whatever. We'll go
get some popcorn. There's a commotion. Brock's beating the hell out of somebody. She peeks around the corner. It's Randy. Oh, it's just Randy, and turns around and walks the other way.
It's just Randall.
You know that gif of that guy in the club who just like kind of looks and raises his eyebrows and kind of turns away? It's very bad. Like,
No, it's more like that Homer Simpson gif with him going in the bushes. It's like, oh, it's Randy. Oh, bye.
This is the WrestleCast. You can find the WrestleCast on the web at cspn.us. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, and through any podcast app. Just search the WrestleCast-CSPN. So now it's time to talk about NXT. Roderick Strong arrives and says, this isn't about the group or the North American title. It's about the Velveteen Dream. He feels disrespected that Dream put his wife and son's faces on his tights. Strong demands an apology, but gets Bronson Reed instead. Bronson says he has a problem with Roddy too, and they're going to fight right now. So we have Roderick Strong versus Bronson Reed. Roderick Strong runs into a power slam, a senton, and Reed heads up top. He gets cut off, and Strong follows him up and hits the superplex for a two count. Dream's aura hits to distract Roddy as Bronson Reed hits the suicide dive. The top rope splash is countered by the jumping knee strike, and Roderick Strong gets the win. Pretty good, solid match. Good effort here by Bronson Reed. Miss Didi, that's definitely her type. Thick boy season. On the screen, we see a video of the Velveteen Dream. He has on a jacket with his face on the back, and his tights say, "Call me up, Marina." Dream says Roderick Strong tried to end his career. So what if someone took something from Roderick that mattered to him? He says he doesn't have the title anymore, but he does have a family. Dream says that if something happens to Roderick Strong, someone somewhere could fulfill Marina's dreams. He then shows off Troy and Marina's faces with his on his tights. So disrespectful. But so good. Did you see this, Miss Didi Janae?
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh. They had Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle in a show long little comedy thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, did we finally get to the question answered?
I don't know what question that is, sir.
The question of how many fish could Bobby Fish fry? Bobby Fish could fry fish.
No, I don't think we ever got a definitive answer to that. But anyway, we get a Bruiserweights video, and they're going on a road trip to Portland with the Dusty Cup sticking out of their convertible. So they're showing them, you know, driving along or whatever. And they're riding along. So then they show Pete Dunne driving. And all of a sudden, they're driving down the road. And Pete Dunne almost hits this car head on. And Matt Riddle's like, dude, you got to drive on the right side of the road. So the cops end up pulling him over. Matt Riddle says, hey, Pete, don't worry. I'll do the talking. And then when we see the next cut, their car is getting towed away. And they're standing outside of it with the Dusty Cup. And so they got to figure out another way to get to Portland. Kathy Kelly, she interviews Angel Garza. Garza reminds us that he didn't lose his title. He beat Leo before, and he'll do it again on his way to facing Jordan Devlin. Leo interrupts to say that he's not the same guy who lost the title over a month ago because he's hungrier, faster, and stronger than ever. Dakota Kai versus Candice LeRae. Candice cuts her off but gets slammed into the buckles, and Candice's nose is busted open. LeRae hits the wild ride off the ropes but misses the lion's salt. We get a pump handle German suplex by Candice LeRae and the Gargano escape follows. Dakota Kai fights until she cradles up Candice LeRae for the win. After the match, Candice LeRae goes after Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai hits her with the ring bell, and that's when Tegan Knox arrives and knocks Dakota Kai back. They brawl until security pulls them apart. Tegan Knox gets free and attacks again before the fight is finally broken up. That was a fun match between Tegan and Dakota. Candice and Lakota. Dakota, Candice LeRae did like 4 suicide dives in a row, which is pretty cool to see. But Dakota Kai gets the dupe, clean victory too. She didn't even cheat. She just stole it. And then Tegan Knox comes down with the beatdown. So hyping up their street fight that they're going to have this Sunday at TakeOver Portland. Johnny Gargano, in his first match in over 3 months, faced off against Cameron Grimes. We get the collision course by Grimes, and it gets 2 count. Grimes follows with the ground and pound, but we get a super kick by Johnny Gargano, followed by the tornado DDT. We get a head kick by Cameron Grimes, and he goes into to try to do like a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker onto Johnny Gargano, but Johnny Gargano transitions that into the Gargano escape, and Cameron Grimes taps out, and Johnny Gargano is your winner. Backstage, Adam Cole tells Roderick Strong not to worry about the Velveteen Dream because they'll take care of him. But tonight, Adam Cole will teach Kushida a lesson in the main event. He's also tired of hearing about Tommaso Ciampa never losing the title and promises that he'll do anything to retain the NXT title. Then they cut back to the Broserweights. They're in a Swan Love boat ride, and Matt Riddle's talking about that he's got a plan for them to get to Portland. So he's kind of brainstorming something with Pete Dunne. Just showing a little comedic side to Pete Dunne. These were really good. These were really well done. The Robert Stone brand says that Caden Carter got lucky last week, and Chelsea Green will have a rematch next week, and it will be the relaunch of their brand. Next week, it's announced that Roderick Strong will take on the Velveteen Dream. Now it's time for Lio Rush versus Angel Garza, number one contenders match. Lio Rush heads up top, and the final hour connects on the floor. Back in, the final hour eats knees, and Garza covers for a 2 count. We get a super kick by Garza, but Lio counters the wing clipper into a cradle for the win. So congrats to Lio Rush. Jordan Devlin comes out and congratulates Lio as well. He tells him that he gets to be the next stop on his Cruiserweight title tour, and that next week he'll show Lio that you never bet against an ace. We get a video package narrated by Mark Henry. He's here to hype up the Keith Lee versus Dominic Dijakovic. Give me the right syllable. Dominic
Dijakovic.
Yeah, him at TakeOver, and how they are revolutionizing the battle of big men. So good use of Mark Henry here talking about the super heavyweights. Now it's time for the highlight of the night. Bianca Belair. She's facing off against Santana Garrett before her title match at TakeOver Portland against Rhea Ripley.
And Santana Garrett getting bulldozed immediately, like Belair, whose mama may have said, knock you out, as Belair's all over Garrett.
She means business tonight. Earrings are off, and Belair is vicious. Look at the aggression here.
And we can't discount the talents of Santana Garrett, but she was unable to even get on track against this, well, former track star at the University of Tennessee.
Speaking of talent, double chicken wing.
You know a thing or two about that type of maneuver, Beth.
I was looking for the glam slam, Beth.
Oh. And there's a K! D! And just like that, victory in lightning quick fashion.
Here is your winner, Bianca Belair.
So Rhea Ripley keep going to Raw, worrying about Charlotte, acting like I'm not even here. Like, am I invisible or something? Hello? Hello? I am standing right here. But you know what, Rhea? Keep playing with me, because come TakeOver Portland, Bianca Belair will walk out as your next NXT Women's Champion.
the champ. The Nightmare is back in the NXT arena, and just like that, Belair's countenance has changed.
Bianca, I assure you that I'm not looking past you. I'm looking right at you. And I'm telling you that at NXT TakeOver Portland, I'm going to go right through you.
Oh! Well, they're looking to go through Ripley, and Ripley counters with the right hand, and this thing is on, Beth. It's breaking down here. They're not going to wait for TakeOver. Oh, Belair delivers a KOD to the champion.
What a statement. Just like that, the Fresh Princess Belair puts down the NXT Women's Champion. They hear me roar.
So
I do like how last week, Bianca was telling Charlotte, "You don't even go here."
Right, right. Bianca Belair was the star of NXT last week, hands down. The Broserweights, they're sneaking into the luggage cargo of a private jet. Riddle says he knows a guy that loaded the trophy onto the plane. Riddle shoves Dunn into the luggage compartment, and the plane happens to belong to Triple H. Tommaso Ciampa sits in a Full Sail classroom watching the clip of him giving away the NXT title in that very room a year ago. Back then, he says he was concerned that he might have given up his biggest opportunity, but in 4 days, he gets his shot at the title he never lost. What if Cole wins and goes on to be the longest reigning NXT champion? But what if there's a guy who wants it more and has been through so much more? He could go into Mania weekend as a champion the way it was supposed to be last year. A man is most dangerous when he has nothing to lose, and Cole will find out just how true that is at TakeOver Portland. That was a really good promo right there. Next week, Chelsea Green versus Caden Carter, Roderick Strong versus Velveteen Dream, and the Cruiserweight champion Jordan Devlin defends against Leo Rush. Now it's time for our main event. Adam Cole, baby, versus Kushida. The Panama Sunrise is countered into the hoverboard lock. Cole fights. Kushida rolls through, and he keeps the hold. Cole escapes in a trade near falls, and Kushida follows with the Pele kick. Kawada kicks connect. Cole counters into a super kick and covers for a two. The last shot by Adam Cole finally gets the win. After the match, Cole and Tommaso Ciampa have a stare down as Ciampa says that he takes his life, meaning his title, back on Sunday, and Adam Cole says it'll be over his dead body. Solid addition of NXT. Not as good as AEW. AEW had a little bit better episode if you had to compare this week when it comes to the Wednesday Night Wars, but still a good, solid go-home show, built up the things that need to be built up going forward towards the Portland TakeOver. So we'll talk about that Portland TakeOver card before we wrap up the show. We're going to have a street fight between Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox. Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano, which probably has a chance to be match of the night. NXT North American Championship match, Keith Lee versus Dominic. Yeah, that guy with the funny last name. NXT Tag Team Championship match, the Undisputed Era versus the Broserweights. NXT Women's Championship match, Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. And for the NXT title, Adam Cole, baby, versus Tommaso Ciampa. What's very significant about this TakeOver is it's going to be the first ever TakeOver with more than 5 matches. It actually has 6 on this card. So significant. And it's also on Sunday. It's not on the Saturday. So 2 significant changes to this upcoming TakeOver. You can share your commentary with color by using the hashtag #CastTakeOver on Sunday night. I think it starts at 7. So please join us and share your commentary with color as we live tweet NXT TakeOver Portland. All right, Miss Didi Jonet, before I turn it over to you, I got one thing I want to say to everybody. you guys need to check out, if you can, by whatever means necessary, John Moxley versus Minoru Suzuki from New Japan last week for the IWGP United States Championship. Total brawl. One of the best John Moxley matches he's had this year. Really, really good stuff. And the championship match between Naito and Kenta. Excellent stuff as well. So check out those two main events, semi-main event and the main event from last week's New Japan show. Really, really, really high-level stuff. All right, Miss Didi Jone, at this time, I'm going to turn it over to you for your shout-outs and thank-yous.
Shout-out to Jade and Tatiana, like always. Mel, because Mel always gets shout-outs. Shout-out to you all. Shout-out to Magnum Prime and the baby. Shout-out to Miss Bree. Shout out to Miss Bree. She lost somebody really close to her today. So just keep your thoughts with her. And yeah, that's it.
All right. Mr. Samuel Kalunga, your shout out and thank you, sir.
All right. Shout out to Nikki. And that's pretty much it.
All right. I'll give a shout out to Sam and Miss Didi Jone for joining me once again for this week's edition of the WrestleCast. Give a big shout out to Simi for joining me last week on the show and for the dark match as well. Had a really good time recording that show. Give a big shout out to all the listeners of the WrestleCast and everybody who joins us each and every week for the live tweet. We definitely appreciate it. Want to give a special shout out to my man TKO over on the Hot Fire Starter podcast. He lost his mom a couple of weeks ago, so just want to give a big shout out to him. Definitely talks about the WrestleCast on their podcast a lot, so just want to let him know that we're thinking about him here on the WrestleCast and to keep his head up. Definitely tough to lose a parent, especially when it's unexpected. So definitely our thoughts with him. Also, like Miss Didi said, Miss Bree, Jeremy, Candace, you know, all of those folks that were, you know, part of the CSPN who were real close to Curtis Trelificent as well. Just big thought out shouts to them and thoughts to them. He was definitely someone who helped the rest of the CSPN when I first got started with some ideas and some things. So definitely a big loss for all of those people. So just thoughts and prayers out to Curtis and his family. So on that note, for Miss Didi Jone and for Mr. Samuel Kalunga, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 274 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Almost a year ago to the day, I stood in this auditorium and I gave away my life. I stood in front of my peers and I said something like, I'm going to be back bigger, stronger, better. And the truth is, I was scared. Self-doubt, man. I look into my eyes there and so many what-ifs. Now here we are, full circle. 4 days. 4 days away from TakeOver Portland. Adam Cole, Tommaso Ciampa, for the NXT title that I never lost. What if you win, Adam Cole? And you go on to become the longest reigning champion in NXT history. What if you don't? What if, Adam? What if there's one guy who wants it that much more? What if there's one guy who's been through that much more? What if that guy is Tommaso Ciampa? What if the final bell rings in Portland and I win? And I'm the NXT champion? Get back, Cody. And I go on to NXT TakeOver Tampa WrestleMania weekend. With all the eyes of the world on me. they say, a man is most dangerous when he has nothing to lose. When you look into my eyes,